call this meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, March 12th, 2014. This is the Oceano Community Services District. Marie, can I get a roll call, please?
President Guerrero?
Present.
Vice President Lucy?
Present.
Director White?
Present.
Director Blackburn?
Present.
Director Angelo?
Here.
All right, all board members are present. Mr. Curtis is present. Mr. Minery is present.
What time did we call this to order, Matt?
We called this to order at 6:31.
Thank you
very much. If you'll join me with the flag salute.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number four is the agenda review. I will say I wanted to move the Lopez refund appeal, which was item 10B, to between 6 and 7. We will first have the Oceana Community Energy Challenge by Cheryl Cochran heard, and then do item 10B, which is the Lopez appeal. Is there any other items that anybody would like to move, remove, or adjust?
I believe we need to remove item 9C from the consent calendar as well. I don't know if we need to wait until we do that to remove it.
We'll take that off the consent calendar. Why don't we move that down to 10? It would be new 10F.
What are you moving?
We need to remove it all the way. We don't have anything for it.
There's nothing in the packet. Right. I think that's right. That's true.
It was in the last one.
That's true. We sent it off with changes, though.
Right.
And I haven't seen the changes to make
sure. So we're just going to remove it?
Yes, because we don't have a copy with the changes.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't mind doing that and bringing it back on the 26th.
Okay.
Okay, is there any...
I was saying 9C. Yeah.
9C. We would put it where 10F would be, but we're just going to remove it. All right. Any other changes or additions? If there's none other changes or additions, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as modified.
I so move.
I'll second. Marie, if you can give us a roll call vote.
Director White?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
And Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right, motion carries by vote of 5-0. We'll now go to item number 5, public comment on matters not on the agenda. Is there any public comment this evening on this time? Okay. I think for the first time in 3.5 years, there's no public comment at this moment. All right, we'll move on to item number 6, which is special presentations, Oceana Community Energy Challenge by Cheryl Cochran. Good evening. And you can move the microphone down to where you can speak.
That's okay. Good evening. Thank you for having me. I'm Cheryl Cochran. My colleague Emma Shoppe is with me today. And I know a few of you have already seen this presentation at the advisory council meeting a couple of weeks ago, so I thank you for listening again. This will be pretty brief. We just wanted to announce and ask you if you can help us get the word out about the Oceano Energy Challenge. Which will be happening starting on March 24th. And this is a month-long opportunity to save money and energy. So just a little bit about where we're coming from. Within the planning department, we have a small section devoted to energy, and we work with the utility companies as well as other local agencies to bring energy savings programs to the community and try to make them as accessible as possible. One of the ways that we do that is through community energy challenges. So, these are the partners that we have specifically for this energy challenge, the month-long event. Pacific Gas and Electric Company, Southern California Gas Company, and the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, or CAPSLO. All of these different entities have programs that are related to energy savings for residents. So what we're doing is just bringing them all together and focusing them in one community at a time. So when we are in Oceano, we're doing a lot of targeted outreach. And also when all of the contractors and people that work on these programs are in one place, it makes it easier just to get more done in a short amount of time. So actually, do you want to pass out the flyers? We've got a little handout for you and some flyers that kind of explains a little more detail some of the services that are offered. So for residents, the programs that we are highlighting are free programs, and they can include things like weather stripping or insulation, repair for windows that may be broken, even new appliances, sometimes like refrigerators. And CAPSLO's programs they administer programs both for PG&E and SoCalGas. Most of them are income qualified, so they are for lower income households. However, they do have some that are not income qualified as well. And additionally, we have other services that also do not require a specific income. But the main programs that we're highlighting are free, and a CAPSLO representative will actually go out to anybody who's interested to their home to assess the situation and kind of see how their home may be using energy or losing energy, and go ahead and make recommendations, and then they'll come out and do the work for free. So it usually all happens pretty quickly. There are also programs for businesses. So that's PG&E's direct install program is actually going to be visiting different businesses to see if they are interested. And those services vary depending on the type of business, but they do have a list of measures that are already have deemed energy savings. So a lot of it is lighting or things that are specific to those kinds of businesses. And basically they'll do an assessment. And then for a really low copay, they can package all of the different things that might be able to save that business some energy and go ahead and get that work done for them in a pretty short time frame. So to kind of kick this off, we're having the Energy Challenge kickoff event on March 24th, and it's actually in this room right here. Efren's Tacos is going to be providing food, and we'll probably have them set up outside, and then people will be able to come in, and they can actually sign up for the programs right there. They can go ahead and start the process of scheduling a visit, or just get more information. In addition to that, CAPSLO will actually go door-to-door if they don't have a whole lot of interest up front, and see if people are interested. So the ways that we've tried to let the community know so far. We've sent home flyers in all of the schools with students who live in this area. And sometime this week, later this week, everyone who lives here will be receiving a letter from the county supervisor that kind of explains the programs and invites them to the event. So that is kind of the program in a nutshell. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Well, I did notice actually in the handout that you had that it includes both renters and homeowners, so I think
that's true. Yeah, that's important. They do have to get the homeowner's permission, but they have a form for that already. They're kind of used to dealing with that.
Can you leave a few extras of these? We can put them up around town. We have a few informational, not a few, but there's some informational little places we can hang these.
Sure.
I have a question also. If someone goes out and looks at the property and is there anything in particular that they could be denied for? Because I talked to had a similar thing come in where they looked at the property, then they denied it.
Not usually. You mean for a residence?
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be unless they've had work done really recently.
No. That's why they were looking at it,
because
it needs work.
Like I said, some of their programs do require a specific income level.
Okay.
But they also have one that's called the MIDI program, and there's no requirement for an income level for that.
Okay.
And then we have some additional services as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just have one question. I've gotten to watch your presentation a few times. Do you have to sign up for services for any of the social service organizations? Because a couple people did ask that.
Yeah, they do. They'll ask you to sign up. So they can do that at the event, or they can just call. And it's mostly just to make an appointment at that time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, I have a question, please.
Can you speak into the mic, Marie?
Yes, sir. When they do the energy assessment, and if a person qualifies, does it include installation and all of the work done for them?
Yes, thank you. Good question. Okay. Yeah, everything is included.
Okay, thanks.
And will you, okay, final question, I think. Will you be visiting the local commercial establishments to?
Yeah, they will go out. Staples Energy is the contractor that PG&E has, so they'll be out just finding out if anybody's interested.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Cochran.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll attach this to our minutes for the next time.
Okay.
So that they can show. The next item on is the what was previously listed as item 10B, the Lopez refund appeal. This is an appeal brought on behalf of the Edwards by the J.H. Edwards Company. I had exchanged some communications with Mr. Edwards and Ms. Tacker that I CC'd Mr. Curtis on, advising I thought this could probably be done in about 15 minutes, but looking at the information that you provided and that was provided by Mr. Curtis, maybe can be done shorter. But
I'm hopeful.
Excuse me, President Guerrero, you might want to take public comment on this from any members of the audience before you go to it, because you've moved a business item. So,
okay,
thank you.
You don't mind that, do you, Ms. Tacker?
Okay. I don't mind at all.
Why don't we take public comment on item 10B at this time, which is the Lopez refund appeal? Seeing none, okay, we'll turn the floor back over to you, Ms. Tacker. You can go first, since it is your appeal, and then we'll allow Mr. Curtis a time to respond. The board will do whatever deliberations need to be done, make a ruling tonight, and then move forward.
I'd appreciate that. Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I am a environmental permit consultant with the J.H. Edwards Company. The J.H. Edwards Company is a land use practitioner firm. Jeff and I help people get their building permits and help them with their other real property issues. Tonight, we're here representing Cecilia and Rolando Lopez. They live at 1630 15th Street here in Oceano. They're adding just over 200 square feet to the front of their home. And part of the process is somewhat of a checklist at the county, and they were here at the district asking that check be marked with regard to a will serve letter for their expansion of their home. There's no new fixtures. There's been no need for fire sprinklers. The property should have been simply signed off by the district and with no charges applied to the property. They came to you in December, and it was mid-January, late January, that they were given an estimate of over $8,000 for the will serve letter for no changes to service from the district. Mrs. Lopez raised objection with that at the time, and you'll remember that the McCall matter was before you, and your board gave direction to your staff to rework that estimate, and that was done, but it didn't come back to you for your approval. And $400 was charged to Mr. and Mrs. Lopez. The rationale that was given Ms. Lopez is defined in our correspondence to you dated February 10th. I believe you got it somewhere around February 17th. Mrs. Lopez was told that her meter would be changed, that the district was throwing in a meter and that there would be no labor charge, and that that Mr. Curtis was going to just charge 10% of the capacity charge should it be a newly constructed brand new house. So you'll see in our attachments where there's a lined through copy of the will serve letter, and that it says right next to capacity charges $400. So that 10% of the $4,000 makes some sense there. The Lopez has paid the $400, but upon looking at it closer and listening to your deliberations on February 12th, Jennifer Blackburn, Director Blackburn, asked Mr. Curtis about what was happening with the will serve for Lopez, and a lengthy discussion went on, and I've provided a transcript of that evening's discussion, wherein Mr. Curtis tells a different story, suggesting that the meter needed to be changed out and that a 1-inch meter would be put in with a 5/8 restrictor on it. And subsequently, I have learned by speaking with your utility staff that the meter has not been changed out. Your utility foreman has no intention of changing out a perfectly good working meter. And the meter belongs to the district. So there would be no charge for the homeowner to change out the meter. So there's some confusion as to any rationale associated with the $400 charge. Subsequently, this weekend, your staff report came out and another story is told as to how Mr. Curtis reached the $400. He suggests that it's done by percentage, some 88% reduction, as was the case of the McCall matter. While this does add up to $400, or add down to $400, again, there's been no physical changes at the Lopez home, and there's no need to charge the Lopez family, a good working Oceano family, $400 that could go toward their home improvement. I will cede my time to the board, to right. Mr. Curtis. If you have any questions of me, feel free to ask them. But I think our correspondents have represented the matter well, and I would ask that the board refund the Lopez family their $400.
Why don't I have you wait there? We'll attach this additional correspondence you provided the board this evening to the record, to the minutes. We'll hear from Mr. Curtis, unless there's any questions for Ms. Tacker right now, and then I'll give you a brief opportunity to respond if the board has any questions, and then we'll take it up. Mr. Curtis? Neither is yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. Looking into this matter a bit more, I don't want to be in a point-counterpoint rebuttal. I can assure the board that I never threw in our labor, threw in a meter, or threw anything of the sort. And I'm not doing anything other than as I presented in the board item. For the record, I went to the county building and planning yesterday. The plans have not been approved of by the county. They were submitted, yes, on Monday. So I want to make sure that's represented. I also talked to the fire authority on what they had. And what they had was the October 13th submittal, which did have a larger size footprint. And that's the one I based my initial charge on. And they didn't get the stuff from the property owners, the Lopez, and they didn't revise their calculation until January 5th. So there seems to be quite a bit of disinformation and misrepresentation here. If you go to the source, and I went to planning and building to ensure that our ducks were lined up and that what we're looking at and what I've charged is appropriate, and it says I've written to the record in the board item.
Anything else, sir? I don't mean to cut you off. You have as much time as you need.
I just want to know, I just want the record straight as to what happened when and where in this record. If you look at the original plan was submitted and is dated in 2012. And then it was changed subsequent to that. And that's where the fire authority did not make an adjustment to their letter, which I have a copy of. I have provided a copy to Director Blackburn. She had asked a question about that.
Thank you.
And they didn't have that, or they didn't get a look at that until just the other day when they handed it to me, and he brought it into my office and said, this is what's happened, and this is when we made an adjustment. And it wasn't until that day on Monday of this week did that occur. So there's no way I could have judged it any way differently than I initially did. And then when I subsequently reduced it, as I state in the board item, that's how this unfolded. But I want it to be represented accurately as to what has happened and how the figures were arrived at. And it's as I state in my board item. Contacting Ms. Lopez after the board asked me about it, I talked to Ms. Lopez, and I was awaiting her to call me. She didn't call. Evidently, she was waiting for me to call her. I did talk to her at the board, but eventually, I did make contact with them, and they did come in, and they did pay $400, and I did reduce it, as it stated in the board item that I presented to you. That's all I have, Mr. President.
One of the questions we had a month ago was how the fees were calculated, because when we heard the McCall appeal, we just billed them for the enlarged meter, the 1-inch meter instead of a 5/8 meter, and not for, and for any labor that was involved in inspection fees. There was no discussion of percentage that I recall, so I'm trying to figure out how you got a discussion of percentage here.
I got to the percentage when you asked me to reduce it in kind, as my recollection was to reduce it similarly, which I looked at that. Percentage-wise, I came up with what I thought was a reasonable balance, and that's how I came up with the amount, and it ended up being those percentages, and that's where the percent falls out of.
I thought we asked you to reduce it or to address it consistent with the way that we had addressed McCall, who actually got a new meter. Is that not the way you remember it?
That's not the way I remember it, but consistent with reducing $11,400 to a little over $1,000. That was the amount of the reduction, and I was looking at the dollar amount.
You mentioned,
by the way, Mr. and Ms. Lopez did not object at the time when they did pay the $400. They were more than pleased at the time. They raised no objection to me directly.
Okay. Well, they've objected now, and it seems to be a timely objection. What's the situation with the meter? We had a discussion, and this transcript is consistent with my recollection. I didn't go back and review it, but the transcript is consistent that the meter was going to be changed, no charge. If they didn't require a meter, how? I'm trying to understand how.
I don't have a transcript, President Guerrero.
Okay. Would you hand that down?
And it is. I did verify it against the recording.
Did you listen to it?
I
okay.
Did.
It's correct. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I said I did verify it against the recording. It is accurate.
I guess I'm slightly still confused as to why we would charge them for no service.
We were going to be changing the meter itself out when my first initial review had the one-inch meter with fire service. And so when that was changed out, I felt that it was a time where we could change the meter out and we could reduce the flow to that 5/8 size. That's done sometimes, not always. I thought this was an opportunity with that.
Yeah, but we don't charge long-term residents for people who have been established in the community for a while for their meters.
We don't
charge for meters. They pay their water bills and sewer bills, and we do the infrastructure. So why would you charge them for a meter? And I need clarification. Was there a meter put in?
There has not been a meter put in.
You stated at the last meeting that you had put a new meter in with a restrictor.
I don't recall that I had stated that directly. I will review the tape.
So I understand that the will serve that was provided and that this discussion revolves around was based on the previous plans, the 2012 plans. Do you feel now, based on the fact that they don't need sprinklers, that they should be charged for anything, and knowing that they don't need a new meter?
If they're not going to be having a new meter, and if they stick to the plans that have been submitted to date, the revised plans that are unapproved by the county, I'll look at those, and if they are the downsized plans, and that's how it is built, then that's where it will be. It will be with no charge. And I would make that recommendation to the board.
Is it your understanding that those are the plans they're working with that they are seeking approval on?
No, because the county has not approved them and sent them back to me. I understand what's on paper and what I see, but until the county has a set of plans that have been moved through their process, I talked to the county planner yesterday about that. So I'm waiting for that set of plans.
Can they get their plans approved without a will serve letter? If we haven't produced a will serve letter for them, they can't get their plans approved.
They should not and approved of.
The plans that are waiting to be approved, what did you look at?
Pardon me?
What kind of plans? Did you look at any plans or anything?
I have not been given a set of plans that were resubmitted to the county on Monday.
Well, I would think we wouldn't give them a will serve letter until they got the plans completed from the county. That's the way it used to be when I used to build. I said I wouldn't think that we would give them any kind of a will serve letter until the plans from the county had been approved, because that's how it's been before.
Yeah. It's a back and forth process with the county. The county, when I talked to the county administrator yesterday, he said, you know, people make these changes and that, and we need to make sure that they're getting the right information to the special district or the cities when they do that.
Yeah.
Also, but specifically in the county, unincorporated territory of the county, that it goes through the process, and we actually, it is checked off. There's a fire authority block,
right?
And then there's also the CSD block, and then the county ultimately approves the build plans. And they didn't
get a will serve letter to somebody that doesn't have a completed set of plans.
They did not
get a will serve letter on the old plans.
They didn't.
2012.
They did not get the county did not get the change from the fire authority till Monday.
Okay, so we wouldn't know that there was a change in the plans then, correct?
That submittal hadn't been approved of by the fire authority.
Okay.
Then the fire authority sends them to the water district, or the CSD, rather. Sorry.
I would like to point out the fire authority review is dated January 5th. So they have had that for a couple months now.
I'd like to make a motion.
Let's give Julie our... Jeff, Esther, somebody from the. Do you want to respond at all? You don't have to.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards. I just wanted to summarize briefly, and that is there were no meter changes. The fire authority, under either of the plan scenarios, there was no sprinkler requirement. The irony is that there's a likelihood that this will serve letter may not have been needed from the county, frankly, because they have a long list of requirements, and sometimes they think something is needed when it's not. So I apologize for taking your board's time. I don't want to consume any more. I'd simply ask you that you vote to refund the $400 to the Lopez's. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. OK, Karen, you have a motion?
Yes, at the risk of in dealing with this, and my motion is that we just give them back their $400. We probably made the mistake, and just tell them we're sorry.
Second.
All right, Marie, roll call vote, please.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
We'll direct staff to go ahead and process that.
Can I ask who's going to do the letter of correction to the Lopez's? I don't want that to move forward without the board seeing it or the president or somebody.
Okay. Well, we'll direct staff to prepare that, forward it to me for review, and then we'll have it sent out.
Great. Post-haste. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. I'd also like us to take a look at this incident with other properties and things that have gone on. What concerns me is now we're going to have everybody running in and saying, well, you shouldn't have charged me for this, and it's been God only knows how long. But the problem I see is they start with one plan and then they change it and then they come for the information without the current information. We don't even know what the other plan is. We don't know if they're putting another 1,000 square feet, but that's besides the point. It was a mistake to start with. But I want to make sure that we don't get caught up in this again. I think it's going to be really important that we have a specific guideline for that type of thing, for remodels especially.
As soon as possible.
Right. Yes.
That was part of our discussion on the call, was the vagueness in our own ordinance. And so that was part of the reason we did not uphold that at that time.
So, Marie, you have a clear calculation of Karen's motion. It had several points in it.
Yes.
And I don't want anything to drop to the side.
Right.
So.
She wants a letter of apology and a check for $400 refunded to the Lopez's.
And that we start reviewing the policies and procedures for WillServe.
Immediately.
That's not
and
part of the motion.
We need
I will let you know, Director Lucy, that I have been in contact with the county in regards to your direction to make sure that our WillServe plans, as far as how we distinguish between remodels, and that this has come up now for a second time, and I will inform the board that the county also has informed me that they are also facing a very similar issue in regards to undefined standards and conflicting standards on these issues. So it appears to be something that this board is not dealing with in isolation. But
so I just wanted to put that out there. It was originally there. It has since been changed, which is what I think we made our decision based on. But I think that was the right decision. Thank you.
We'll move on to item number 7, which are reports. First is Sheriff South Station. Commander Donovan's not here, so we'll move on to item 7B, Five Cities Fire Authority. Chief Hubert, good evening, sir. I'm sorry, that's Ricky Heath, and I know the difference, too.
Good evening, all honorable directors, President Guerrero.
I was telling you, you have a dusty motorcycle in your garage.
Very dusty. this evening, I'm here to give a little more of a comprehensive report on the activities of the Five Cities Fire Authority for the last month. For the past month, we ran 204 calls overall, and 56 of those are out of this station here. 23 of those are to automatic aid, which 2 goes to the state parks area, 4 goes to Napomo, 6 goes to the East Arroyo Grande County area, 7 goes to Napomo Mesa, and 4 goes to Pismo Beach. This station here responded to 2 fires. One was a minor rubbish fire, and the other one was a motorhome fire that was fully involved. It was occupied by a transient, and it was parked next to the Pismo Coast motorhome storage lot, and a couple of the other units took some heat, but the engine company got there and protected those exposures and put the fire out fairly quickly, so minimal damage to the other units. And then 43 of those incidents here in Oceana were emergency medical aid calls. 1 was a hazardous condition, 4 service calls, 5 good intention calls, and then 1 false alarm. That's all I have.
Anybody have any questions for Chief Heath?
Yeah, I just have a quick question. You rattled off 104 total. I'm trying to figure out how many of those are responding to CDF's MOU. So you mentioned the Mesa, Pismo, and areas right. where the Five Cities Fire Authority doesn't typically go into. And so I just assume that you're honoring the MOU with the California Department of Fire.
Right. We have
three
state parks, total of two.
Just two.
Yes, ma'am.
It's the slow season.
Slow month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder.
And the new the four-wheel drive unit that we've got out here that how's it doing now that it's had the upgrades and the transmission cooler I think it needed and the new tires and wheels?
We haven't been able to get the transmission cooling system quite yet. We're working on that. But the vehicle's operating pretty good. A lot of times we have to deflate the tires on that thing, and if the driver turns the curb on the dunes a little too sharp, the weight of the vehicle causes the tire to peel off the rim.
Oh.
So quickly we call the Angelos or somebody else, and they come out and help us. But for the most part, they're pretty good.
Well, remember the old dragster guys, they would put screws into the tires through the rims to keep them from peeling off.
Yeah. That's one of the things that Captain Angelo's working on. He's looking at how to secure the bead.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite an interesting yeah. process.
Of course, the dragster guys only need to go a quarter mile. They don't need to go that far. So
yeah.
if you're losing air, it's not that important.
And Chief Heath, I want to commend you for being the first on that accident down by the high school the other day.
Oh, thank you. I was driving back to the station, and the vehicle actually lost control right in front of me. I maneuvered out of the way, and he spun out and rolled, so I was lucky.
Okay, hopefully the child involved is going to be okay. So
I think he'll be fine. It looked like he had a broken arm, but that's about it.
Okay.
And a lot of young people learned something.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Life is fragile. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. All right, we'll move on to the next item, which is OCSD Administration General Manager Lonnie Curtis. Oral report, Lonnie.
And once again, President Guerrero and Board. A couple of things come to mind initially. I'd like to have the superintendent, the manager, the field manager, come and inform me what's been going on out in the field and what their activities have been. Tony Maricino will come to the podium and talk for a minute, and then I'll come back to me. Thanks.
Good evening, Tony.
Good evening, Board. All right. So since the last time we spoke, we have 21 work orders we've completed, 8 USA. We've jetted about 10,000 feet already. We had a location on Sandpiper that was slow, so I sent the crew out there. And as they were cleaning that main on Sandpiper, we discovered there was multiple manholes that were buried approximately a foot underground. And then there was multiple manholes that were not on our sewer atlas. So our atlas is incorrect. We've been updating that as we go along. So as this preventive maintenance program, it's also a requirement for the SSMP, which I'm currently doing the audit right now with John Clements. Mm-hmm. So we'll get those atlases updated after this year of completely cleaning the sewer system that hasn't been done in quite a while.
That was on Sandpiper?
We had some low flow on Sandpiper.
Okay.
There's a main on Sandpiper.
But the manholes you were talking about, what was that?
They were actually, there's an empty lot right there.
Okay.
It's right next to Sandpiper.
Okay.
And there was multiple manholes in that location that were completely buried and not on our atlas.
Okay.
And then there's manholes on Sandpiper that were buried under a foot of sand that we had to locate with a metal detector, dig them up, to be able to jet and clean these lines that had a slow flow.
Is that going to require, in the future, building those up, bringing the manhole up above ground level?
That's definitely something we have to look at. We'd have to either dig up the manhole and get a taller cone to get it up out of the sand that builds up in that area,
mm-hmm.
so they'll constantly be exposed. And also, we need to put concrete rings around them. There's no concrete rings on these. So it's just
it gives the opportunity for the sand to build up and go right into the sewer system.
Well, what did you find the obstruction was? Were it tree roots, sludge building up? Or
A lot of sediment, a lot of sand. It's just years of sediment in those lines, and it just builds up. So as you bring it back, a lot of times we'll vacuum it out, mm-hmm. or just pull it back to a trunk vein to get it free and clear, flowing nicely. It's been quite a while since it's been done. So we're finding a lot of stuff in there.
Bicycles and...
Not yet. I wouldn't doubt it.
I found one across the street this last week.
So as for the jetter, it's under warranty for a year. We've experienced quite a few mishaps on the equipment itself. We've blown two hydraulic lines. There's miscellaneous bolts and parts coming off of it. The company's actually coming down tomorrow to start replacing these things.
Okay.
So that's when it started, as soon as we got that training. We actually blew a hydraulic line during the training. All right. So they repaired it on the spot, took it down to San Luis, and got it repaired. Okay. I attended the Zone 3 TAC meeting. Yay. And what I really got out of that, it's a great meeting, a lot of information, what everybody's doing. But there is some surplus water that is going to be divvied up amongst the cities, is my understanding. They don't know the total amount, which will definitely help us out, because mm-hmm. as of next month, we're going to be pumping a lot of groundwater to make up for that 750 acre feet that we're not going to receive. From state water,
right,
yes.
State water project.
We got a zero allotment, so we got to make up the difference. That's anywhere from 50 to 70 acre feet a month that we're going to end up pumping from our wells. Currently, last year, we only pumped about 95, 98 acre feet.
Right.
So that number is going to go up to about 450 to 500 acre feet we're going to have to pump. So very knowledgeable to go to those meetings. We had a line backed up on Bell Ridge, and we broke that free due to grease. Now, there's a Bell Ridge Apartments there. They have their private lift station. Just found that out. So basically what we're going to do is address the situation, write up a letter, and ask to meet with the owners and give them some advice about what they can do, and it's going to be inspected periodically to ensure that we're getting good, clean sewer, not chunks of grease.
Right. Yeah.
That's just the big topic for the last couple weeks. Got any questions?
Is the Bell Ridge Apartments the ones that are closest to Highway 1, or are they the condos on the other end of 13th and Bell Ridge?
They're closer to 13th and Bell Ridge.
Okay.
Yes. They actually sit a little bit lower than street level.
Yeah.
That's why they need a lift station.
I don't have any questions for Mr. Maricino. All right. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Turn
really
it back over.
Glad to see you in Zone 3 Tech.
Yes, thank you.
We'll turn it back over to Mr. Curtis.
Thank you, President Guerrero. What Tony alluded to on the issue on sandpiper is that the maintenance operations and what some things they can do initially, and it will go out and make repairs as budget time permits. The other thing was that our atlas does not serve operations and maintenance whatsoever, in that it says there's supposed to be a pipeline somewhere or a manway, and there's not a manhole in a pipeline, or the size is wrong, or the age of the pipe, or the pipe material. I could go on and on, but I won't. You get the idea, I think. So that's a little bit of the issues that they deal with on a daily basis. The other thing Tony talked about was he's done a lot of good work for us to get on with upgrading or removing and replacing the former meter or the current meter at the state park. So they've done a really good job in the field. One other thing was this idea that the jetter, is it part of the Lemon Law? It's not a vehicle, so I'm not sure. We're investigating whether or not the Department of Motor Vehicles, if it falls under the Lemon Law rules. Despite that, we're still having a tremendous amount of problems with a brand new piece of equipment that was purchased by this agency, and it has not performed even adequately. It's been down more than it's been able to run. So I'll be dealing with and asking our attorney to see what we can do as far as getting them to stand on their warranty and what we can have done with respect to that jetter. I know we all have different opinions on that jetter, but it sure isn't serving Oceano Community Services District. Even during training, it failed, so that speaks volumes.
Mr. Curtis, have you talked to the company who manufactured the jetter?
I have not talked.
You have not talked to them?
Excuse me. I have not talked to the company that provided the jetter to this to the district, no.
And we've had problems with the jetter for how long now?
Well, they just got training on it a couple of weeks ago. It just started failing 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so when can the board expect communication to the company who manufactured the jetter?
I'm going to do that right away. I was going to talk to our attorney this evening.
Can you just give me a timeline, sir?
I'll have a report for you at the next board meeting.
Okay, 2 weeks.
Sooner if I have it. Is there a timeline you'd like for me to meet?
I just need an absolute timeline. That's all I'm asking for.
Okay.
And you provided that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Director Lucy, I think one thing that I can say...
...the company and communicate to them and say, what's happening here? You know, so sometimes it can be worked out through just plain communication. I just wanted to know if that had happened.
Our field staff has been communicating with them. Okay, I've not communicated.
Anything else?
Yeah, continuing on...
You have the floor.
Excuse me?
You have the floor.
Continuing on, just want to alert anybody here in the general public that there is a National Weather Service has issued an alert for the dry weather conditions with the Santa Ana winds and the like in San Luis Obispo County. It is available on the National Weather Service site coming out of Vandenberg and also out of Oxnard. They've issued national weather alerts. The governor's office of planning and research has put out a toolkit for water districts. I just got this information today, and it goes through for local governments, water districts, and the like of how to deal with the drought emergency that has been declared by the office of the governor. And I've just received it, and I'll be going through with that, and I can provide a copy to the board if you'd like one. I'll be more than happy to share it with you as soon as I can get it emailed to you all. With that'll conclude my report.
Thank you, sir. We'll move on to the item number 8, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Number 1 is Director Angelo.
I haven't been to any meetings.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I did receive one other piece of information.
Sure.
The Zone 1, 1A meeting has been canceled and put off till April 15th.
Yeah.
That's it.
For those that already did their taxes. Okay.
That's it. I don't have any meetings that I attended.
All right. Director Blackburn?
I don't have any meetings either. And I was just going to mention the Zone 1 money as well.
All right. I did attend the South San Luis Obispo CSD last Wednesday. That was March 6th. There's a discussion that's starting at the South Slow CSD about conservation, recycled water. I floated the idea about sending a letter to Sacramento. There's two bills that we're going to be visiting regarding water conservation, recycling. I haven't read them yet. They're going to be brought in, and our board may take a position on one or both of the bills. I know, and looking because recycled water programs can cost tens of millions of dollars. I've got 3 in the bank. The State Water Board's got 1.1 of it earmarked for themselves. So I don't have the money to do it. We're going to have to raise money somehow to do that. But that's the basic discussion. That's the important stuff for me, the take-home stuff from the South Slow meeting last Wednesday. I'll turn it over to Vice President Lucy.
Actually, I didn't attend many meetings, so I'm going to use this time to talk about the county being the 17th county to declare an emergency drought declaration. What this does is it does free up staff to in the county to move forward and work on a sustainable drought program. The bill that is going through Sacramento right now to declare LAFCO to create a special service district in the north dealing with the Paso Robles Ground Basin. Water is kind of floundering right now. Sacramento legislative analysts don't like the design of the district. It's a board of 12, and it will have three at-large seats out of 12. It's mainly grape growers and large ranchers, and they're having a hard time swallowing that pill with that design, and it's actually being called unconstitutional. But the county of San Luis Obispo was the 17th county to declare an emergency water drought. And I think everybody needs to be conscientiously aware of their homes. I turned off my water softener today. I didn't realize how much my water softener was wasting water just running down the side of the house. It's 25 gallons a day in my house for a house of two. 25 gallons a day just running down the side of the house. So unplug that today. I'm going to a reverse osmosis system that will not have any overflow, no loss of water, but still give me the filtration that I need for decent water, and they're easy to assemble. They're a little bit more expensive, but they're easy to maintain, and you don't have any wasted water. I can't strongly encourage people enough to turn the hoses off. And I am an offender. Anybody who drives by my house knows it's green, you know, but...
Anyway, I have a little paper I wrote to my fellow board members, which I'd like to read and hope we can get some action on sometime. Our board is like Grandma Clampett's shotgun blasting off in all directions. We have a huge amount of work to do, many challenges, which often are not completed or only half done. Everything is in a tangle. Our minutes, our agenda, our rules and policies, and even our goals. We all agree that our district has management and directional challenges. The board has offered no clear and unified view as to what needs to be done first. We throw a project forward and then another. It is impossible for staff to follow and get it all done. I'm not making excuses, just observing the obvious. We must find a way to give clear guidance and slow down our demands. We are aware of all the matters that need solutions. Each of us could make a two-page type list. That seems to be the problem. Long lists of issues and challenges unsolved and pushed on and on, meeting after meeting. I want to offer a solution. Let's make three lists. The first would focus on two and only two challenges to be solved. At this point, one obviously would be the next fiscal year's budget and all it involves. Second might, in the interest of the situation, involve working with our other agencies in the formulation of water conservation solutions. The second list could contain two, three, or four short-term or less involved projects, such as the need for a generator, the selection of a grant writer, ongoing union negotiators, and the will serve issues. That would be it. Only emergency matters or time impacted citizen needs would join these matters on the agenda. The third list would contain everything else. They would stay on this third list until something else on list one or two was completed. Maybe this approach could actually focus our energies and get things accomplished. Give this organizational plan consideration and feel free to criticize. Maybe you can come up with a better plan. Be honest. What we're doing now is not really working well despite all our efforts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I only have one.
Can we put this on the agenda and deal with a few of the harder issues?
Do we want to put it on the regular agenda, or do we want to have a special workshop-type meeting where we can utilize the time to discuss the issues that we all have? It seems like it might be time-consuming. That's all my thought.
No, I agree. I think that that's good.
do a Saturday meeting?
However, well, Saturday, you know, the weather's always good on Saturday.
Can we, could we make our own lists before we come together?
That's
a good idea. I mean, I can think of at least 36 things of which I have concern. If we had our list and had some way to get us, get the list even quantitated, are we going to go backwards by just working to make lists?
Can we make this where it's just the board people that are sitting down and talking so we don't have other suggestions brought in that might deter what we're trying to accomplish?
No.
We can run it. No, it has to be run as a board meeting, a Brown
All
meeting.
Right.
And but we can run it from, we can take public comment and then just run it from the guys.
We could take just the regular limited public comment and then proceed.
About
we?
The 22nd?
What?
Saturday.
What day are you looking at, Matt?
What did you say?
I'm suggesting Saturday, 22nd, March 22.
Let me see what I get.
Is that too early?
No.
It's not too early.
We're 3 months behind.
It might be my granddaughter's birthday party, so let me find out for sure. But, yeah, what time do you want to do it? I'll work around.
Why don't we do 9 to 12?
Okay.
9 till noon, did you say, Matt?
Yes, 9 to noon.
9 to noon, okay.
Yeah, on the 22nd.
So my understanding is you all are coming forward with your own list at this meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Full setting.
I think what you're doing, just to be clear, so that you're not taking action on an item that's not on the agenda, I think what you're doing is you're just setting a meeting date to have this sort of discussion. So you're not taking any action, you're just setting a meeting to discuss.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right.
Would there be any possibilities we could legally get our list to each other ahead of time or just work on
it? What we could do is we could send them to staff who could then publish it at the time the meeting was posted. And it would have each of our recommendations. That way, if it went to all of us, it would go to the public at the same time.
Board, or is it going to be made public as well?
I think everybody.
It would be made public.
Made
public as well.
Yeah. Let's do that.
That's not enough time for a meeting the next noon, the next morning.
Well,
okay.
Well, the agenda would go out on the 19th.
No, we're in March, right?
March, yeah, it's the bottom calendar.
I mean, you need to put some kind of.
We're
going to
do it on the 22nd. 21st is Friday.
Right, it should go with the agenda on the 19th, I think.
Okay.
So, which means the comments need to be in by the 18th because the agenda will need to be posted by 9 a.m.
So, I need comments by Monday. Your list of goals by Monday, the 17th.
Okay.
If you want a completely compiled list that goes out with the packet, we need to post either the afternoon of the 18th or the first thing on the Monday of the 19th.
And you're talking about being able to post these 72 hours before the meeting?
The agenda needs to go out.
Right.
With the agenda.
Okay.
So we're doing an agenda for that Saturday morning, and I need a list for 3 days before.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so I'll need your lists by the 17th so I can compile a master list.
Okay.
Okay.
Check your email.
St. Patrick's Day.
Right. No green beer until after your lists come in.
I've got a list already to do.
We'll move on to the consent calendar. We'll take public comment on this time regarding the consent calendar. Is there any public comment regarding consent? I see you guys pointing at each other. Good evening, Mr. Edwards.
Jeff Edwards. First of all, consistent with some of your reports, I did want to mention that tomorrow afternoon, Phillips 66 is going to there'll be a discussion about the Phillips 66 rail spur extension project with Karen Ray, District 4 Supervisor, from 12 to 1, I believe, or 1 to 2 at the Avila Room at the Trilogy in Mesa. On your cash disbursements, I wanted to, again, bring your attention to two expenditures.
Marie, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jeff.
It's on.
Ostensibly, both of these expenditures are in connection with the NCMA Tech, and one is for Fugro Consultants, and I'm not sure exactly what that's for. Perhaps you know. Henry Weinstock is on the disbursements again, the Nossaman Law Firm, a basin characterization study, and all sorts of studies. I just, again, I'm not sure what it does for Oceano. That's the main point. And perhaps your colleagues in the NCMA can maybe pick up these costs that you're otherwise incurring. Thank you.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and I want to thank Director White for her white paper, and I think she's right on in that the district does seem to be in the buckshot approach without really getting a lot done right now. And actually, before she read this, I had started to jot down things that I was hoping to hear from your general manager's report. You know, that reserve policy caused your accountant to resign, and it's not back on the agenda. I understand that you've rented a truck. That really should have been a board action. That's a very expensive, long-range commitment, I would think, but I haven't seen the contract to know. And then I reflect back on the last night that Gary Keefe was here, and he gave a tremendous presentation on a strategic plan. And Mr. Curtis told you that after the new year, he would bring forward a strategic planning process, and that too hasn't happened. I appreciate Director Lucy's comments about the drought and drought compliance. What my concern for your district is that as people comply, which we want them to do, your revenues will drop. You need someone competent to run that analysis for you of how, if they do comply, if 20% is no longer being sold, how that hits the revenue stream for the district. And what are you going to do about it? You need the money to continue to operate. And just before Jocelyn left, I was sifting through some of your old documents, and you have some rules and regulations that you are already able to mandate water conservation. So I'm coming to the public in a timely fashion. Mr. Curtis is under the impression that if he simply responds saying the district has received your request, that's all he needs to do in the 10 days. Your policy, your district's policy on public records is consistent with state law, and I'd actually like to see you comply with the state law.
Mike.
My bad. There's no other public comment this evening. We'll close public comment at this time. We'll move on to the consent agenda. There are review and approval of minutes from February 12th and 26th and cash disbursements. Is there a motion?
I actually placed some changes to the minutes I'm not sure. There were a number of them, so I don't know if we want to pull them off. I have shared them with Ms. McGrath as well. I'm sorry? Those are my changes. And I actually moved my copy somewhere or else I would read them.
So these are the corrections?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. There was just some formatting that I changed on the agenda review on number four. This is for February 26th. For the February 26th minutes, item 9B, cash disbursements, was pulled from the consent agenda and moved to business item 10A1 for discussion. Item 9C, policy for decorum for board meetings and committees, was pulled till the March 12th meeting. Item 10B, farmers market parking, was moved to the end of the consent agenda. And item 13C, received written communications for Lopez, was moved to the end of the business items. Also, under public comment, which I realized that correction might be a mistake, which Ms. McGrath corrected me on, so you can erase that, and, or maybe it's an and, Larson and Lopez. But under item 10, business items, there was public comment on there that I briefly recapped. And then on item 10A, the I don't know if you guys feel like it's an issue or not, but I added that part of the direction to staff was obtaining legal opinion as to whether OCSD is bound to use WSC based on past board action. For the farmers market parking, I saw a motion by President Guerrero, a second by Director White, and the following 4-0-1 roll call vote. President Guerrero, yes. Director White, yes. Vice President Lucy, yes. Director Angelo, yes. Director Blackburn, recused. Parking was then granted according to the farmers market request letter with stipulations in the original staff report on a motion by Vice President Lucy, a second by Director Angelo, and the following 3-1-1 roll call vote. Vice President Lucy, yes. Director Angelo, yes. Vice President Guerrero, sorry, President Guerrero, yes. Director White, no. And Director Blackburn, recused. So.
Thank you for your attention to detail.
Sure.
Director Blackburn, you're hired. Then we could make a motion with this addition.
Just add it to it. Yeah.
You can. Does anyone on the board have discussion on those changes, or do they seem? It seems very diligent on Director Blackburn's part. Do you want to make the motion and attach those as changes to the the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the wheel serve with these changes provided by Director Blackburn to be attached. Included?
The consent agenda.
The consented wheel serve. I'm sorry, consent agenda. Stuck in my mind. I got a head cold. Your microphone's off.
Is there, you know, if there has been quite substantive changes, one thing you could think of doing, because nobody has had a chance really to review them, is just table it and bring them back. With the changes?
I would prefer that.
Okay. Then I withdraw my motion. I'll make a motion to table the minutes.
February 26th.
February 26th. And approve the minutes of February 12th and the cash disbursements.
I so move.
Second.
Marie?
Did we? You made a motion and Karen White made a second.
Oh, yeah, no, actually, no, I think that's. No.
He proposed a motion. I made a motion that we approve the cash disbursements and the minutes of the meeting of February 12th, and we table until corrections are made the minutes for February 26th.
Okay.
And I have those, Marie. I'll pass those down.
Right.
Do you have a copy of that?
I have them also.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And so has there been a second?
Director Blackburn seconded.
Okay.
All right. Marie, can you do a roll call vote?
Correct. Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
No.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. 7:55.
Oh, how generous.
10 minutes. All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. It is 8 o'clock. Tony, would you mind letting Lonnie and Lori know that we're starting up again? We're moving on to the business items. We'll take public comment at this time on the business items. And it looks like everybody's left except for Celia. Good evening. We'll move on to item number 10A, which is the will serve process and board discussion regarding the will serve process. We did have a staff report on this. And in fact, I think during the item 10B, when we heard the Lopez refund appeal, we actually did discuss some of these items. If to recap the discussion during that particular item, I think we discussed that we need to bring back the ordinances to determine what appropriate fees are. The same issue is happening at the county. What's a remodel? What's new construction? So is there any other discussion that we need to have on this, or should we hear from Mr. Curtis what he proposes? Because part of the reason that the will serves were an issue is that I had been asking that will serves at least be placed on the consent agenda so that we could see them. We never had appeals before a month ago on will serves. And so to make sure that we're all on the same page, which we're not, clearly, that's why I brought this back for discussion. So I'm looking to you, Director White, for your thoughts on that.
Well, we have had protests and appeals before on will serve.
I don't remember any. Maybe I'm just forgetting.
You weren't on the board.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I think that's going to have to be brought back because there's no clear picture of the difference between new construction and remodel.
I've been paying into the state water project, into the Lopez
in front footage.
Dam, and they would have already paid front footage. They already would have paid capacity charges if they were done since 1993, which is looks like, according to the ordinance, when we started doing capacity charges, it looks like they already would have paid it or some portion of that. And so,
yeah, but there still might be some fee for inspection or, sure, obviously, if
cost of an upgraded meter.
Cost of an upgraded meter, yeah. Yeah. And even like the regular application fee, which I think involves plan check and staff time.
Labor charges.
Yeah.
I do have a comment. Two of them. One, I noticed that we need to update our capacity charges, mm-hmm, to the current year's capacity charges, which would be $4,684.56 as per the grid that you have on page 4 of your staff report.
Yes. Is this the grid I created? About 3 years ago, I created a grid. I think this might be it.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Also, I just wanted to note that where it says bi-monthly residential rate, that box should say existing capacity charge. Not that it, just for clarification's sake for public who might be looking at that. The other thing that I wanted to make note of was for number 9, that the staff report it does say staff will gather all good documentation submitted to OCSD, and on the next board of directors meeting, it will be reviewed and up for approval. I would be interested in those plans and the fire authority letter being a part of those will serve requests for the approval. I noticed with the one that's later on in the agenda that we didn't get all the information. We just did get the staff report. Then I am interested in seeing the county permit, the fire letter, and a picture of plans if it's all possible to get it on the 8.5 sheet. I think it's important in being able to verify information. But that's all I have.
Is there any other discussion? Go ahead, Lori.
Yeah, are we talking about the process and the fees for the water stuff? I think it all needs to be looked at in depth and probably updated in some items, either changed or revamped for current time. And I think
we've been computing the materials and labor at today's prices.
Pardon me.
We're figuring the materials and labor at today's prices. I'd like to make one comment, if I may, Matt. It's in reference to will serves. The county's website, their water.org, actually has a list on there about who needs a will serve, and I think it should become part of our process. Mm. It's very clear.
I agree. So I think one of the directions is to I'd look at the fees that are being charged.
Mm-hmm.
And are the USS charges at $40 an hour? Is that a current rate of what we charge for?
Yes.
Okay. And the inspection fees at $25. I know that's what's set, but I don't know if that's a reasonable, what it costs expense for the district.
We could check around at some of the other areas and see what they're charging. This is all these fees were all established at the 2006-1 ordinance, and so if you're going to change those.
Sure. I just want to make sure. I mean, I'm not trying to gouge the ratepayers, but I need to make sure that the districts and the other ratepayers that are here aren't giving away freebies to...
Yes. It needs to be accurate.
Yeah. It needs to be a realistic cost.
Yeah.
So then my question, do you change those with an ordinance or with a resolution, Mr. Minery, if we're going to change any of those fees?
To change the fees?
Right.
Well, I think probably because we're talking about many issues in regards to the will serve process, we probably have a multiple resolutions over time and different ordinances. We probably have to look at everything in kind of a holistic package, and what we would do is reference the prior agreements to anything that would conflict, and have a single document that would lay out the process and then supersede all previous conflicting documents so that we have one go-to form. And the idea, of course, is that it makes it, for one, consistent to the public in all aspects, and very clear and easy for staff to determine how to proceed without paging through multiple ordinances looking for exceptions or conflicts. Okay.
Terrific.
Like now? Okay.
I'm just trying to get over the typos.
if there's no further discussion, we'll move on to item 10C, which is the Larson.
Are we finished with 10A, Mr. President?
Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, please.
Yes, I do. I put together this item on the will serve, and there's a lot of issues that the board has just discussed. I did go to the SLO website, and it is thorough. Our existing ordinances need to be rewritten, revamped, updated. All the fee schedules need to be redone to today's fee schedules. And my recommendation to this board is to do exactly that, bring a new ordinance, supersede all others, and move forward with all those items like brand new building, rehabilitation, reconstruction. When people find themselves in a case where there was a flood and that type of thing, and you know, some emergency conditions and that type of thing, but to bring conditions back so that there's a fee schedule that anybody that comes in the door, if it's a new construction, if it's a rehab, or if it's a remodel, we can say this is our fee schedule, and this is what has been approved of by this board, and move forward. Right now, it's a checkerboard of existing past ordinances. Some of them date to 2006 and superseded in 2011, so it's quite confusing. I recommend that the board authorize me to put together a package and bring it back to the board for discussion. I bring it to the Water and Sewer Committee first, I suggest, and go through some vetting at that time, and then bring it back to the full board once the Water and Sewer Committee has approved it and made their suggestions known.
I think we're all on the same page.
Pardon me?
I think we're all on the same page.
Are you good with the Water and Sewer Committee looking at it?
That's fine. I don't mind if it goes there first.
Yeah, the Water and Sewer Committee is actually focusing on the annual budget right now. That is our sole drive right now, is the annual budget for that department, that it's properly reflected in the annual budget. So we'll welcome it, but we're working on the budget right now.
I can see them being related in terms of the fees and...
Yeah,
so, yeah, they would be associated, I think.
Related, no question about it. But as far as the structure of the committee is setting up its goals right now and moving
page on this. Yes, the Larson will serve a report from Mr. Curtis. I had a note to myself. I needed more information. All I got was one page. It says Mr. Larson has provided a handwritten sketch of existing services upon his property. They're requiring the district to sign off on improvements and make certain that fees have been paid. Staff has researched the property and submitted sketch and found no fees are due. So is there anything else? So is there no action then, Mr. Curtis, that we're taking?
Mr. President, I talked to the. I have a revision of item 10C to correct the name. It is not Larson. It is Lucas. And Mr. Lucas came to the counter at the end of today's, and we talked about where this was, and I provided him a copy of this with the name change for Lucas, since it's Mr. Herbert Lucas and the project and the property. And so I suggest changing this and approving myself to let them move forward in their project at this point in time. I don't think there's anything that needs to be done but to receive and file the information that we have at this time.
President Guerrero, just from a notice perspective, if the board's not going to take any action, I think it's fine, but it was noticed as Larson, right. But it sounds like Mr. Curtis did talk to Mr. Lucas, and it seems like the board is not taking any action. But if the board determines to take any action other than what is on here and what has been considered to reported to Mr. Lucas in this regard, I would say that you should probably put this off in case any members of the public have a comment. So no action is no action, which is probably fine. But
right. I think we should take no action.
I am just curious, did he require a will serve?
Oh, okay. No, he does not. Okay. The county just needed us to check off on it.
Okay. So is that normally when the when the $30 fee would happen and the request for the will serve?
Yes.
Okay. So did that take place?
Yes. There's no fee. Right.
Because the county's not asking for it.
Just for correction, too, this was the issue, so I understand, where there was the fees from the prior owner. Is that was the concern? It was the prior owner and whether or not the fees were now to be charged for Mr. Lucas. So I did look into this, and delinquent past due utility charges. So it really becomes on the burden of the district. If there are delinquent, and this is why I'm bringing it up for future delinquent issues, if it is simple form to file, to file a certificate, convert the delinquent amount for the utility charges and penalties and any late fees to a lien, and then if the property did change hands at that point, that lien would have to be cleared up through the change of escrow like any other lien. So to hold a new, we can't hold a new owner liable for someone else's fees, but the district is not without remedy.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I want to ask. I understand that the prior owner was the new owner's parent. So was he living on?
I can't hear you down here.
I'm sorry. I'm not talking loud enough. I said the person that's Mr. What's his last name? Larson?
Lucas.
That's why I keep.
Right.
I was thinking Larson all this time. Mr. Lucas, I understand that property was prior owned by his father, and I don't know if he was living at the residence at the same time and that when things were occurred, and if it was actually legally a transfer to the son, or how that situation is. Because if the property owner is still the father, but he's doing the improvements, I would think the lien should be on that property. If not, then it's too late anyway.
The property is owned by Mr. Herbert Lucas. The man that appeared to the board was his son. The man who was here today and was talking to me is his son. We identified one another, and I felt we came to I told him that this was going to be received and filed and looked at by the board. Since he had appeared in the board wanted to know a bit more about it, and so that's why I provided you the one-page report.
Okay. So the ownership hasn't changed?
The property has not changed, no.
Because I know when he was here, he said he had bought the property.
Well, that's not the case.
Okay. So do we...
But just to be follow up on this, Director Angelo, I'm looking at this staff report, though, and it looks as though that there was a determination that that there was no fees outstanding. That's the way I read the staff report. So I don't know if there's money due or not.
Can you tell me? I'm not remembering now. Why was it that Mr. Lucas was under the impression that there were fees due?
And it's not changing. There's no meter change. There's no facility change. There is no charge.
My understanding was is that it was a tax lien.
There's.
Am I correct in that?
No.
Is that it was a tax lien and that the gentleman had basically had asked him, you know, this wasn't, you know, presented to you by the title company when you purchased the property. And because he was saying, I don't want to pay somebody else's bills. Excuse me. And so I was led to believe that it was a tax lien for past bills.
I am with you. My recollection is the same, Director Lucy. But from my recollection of our last meeting, it was unclear whether or not the delinquency was actually converted to a lien or not. If it was converted to a lien, and I thought that there was a change of ownership of the property, and he's saying, why am I responsible for these fees? That was the old past owner. If that had been converted to a lien, that would have been cleared up through the change of title. None of this information was fleshed out. Right. What I'm being told, what I understand from the staff report is that there's no money that is owed or whatever is owed is paid. So I'm a little unclear.
Okay. Mr. Curtis, is there any paperwork involved in this process?
I'm sorry?
Is there any paperwork involved with your interactions with either Mr. Lucas?
No. Other than what he submitted and the information today where we talked and I got his phone number and the like.
Okay. Yeah. So
there's no submittal for change and that I think there was issues like has been discussed on title. There was nothing on the title when they took ownership of it and there just seemed to be something they're asking questions about that there was nothing there, but I've not seen anything or a tax lien of any sort that needs to be cleared off by anything that has been built or what has been done or not done. I've not seen any tax lien.
Can I ask, has anybody looked at the list of tax liens regarding this? Because when the gentleman presented, I was relatively comfortable knowing that it was a tax lien. We do have a file on every lien that's ever done. It's kept in a file in the front office. Have you looked at that file to see if Larson, Lucas, that resident is on that list? Somebody needs to look at the file to see if the name is on it, because when you say Lucas, that actually starts to ring a bell. Mm-hmm. And there is a comprehensive file on every single lien that has ever been submitted, and I think last year we were fortunate enough to only have five.
Yeah.
You know, the field staff had worked very, very hard to get people up to date and make it so they didn't have to go to a lien point.
Yeah, that was my point. I thought the whole thing was about a lien from services from the district.
So the file hasn't been looked at, so I don't want to drop it because it's can't keep starting stuff and not completing stuff, and there is a tax lien file.
Why don't we just have staff look at it? If there is a tax lien out there, we'll have them bring it back. If there's not, it'll just end the discussion.
Great, but you gotta look.
All right, we'll direct staff to do that.
I'll look.
Yeah.
Staff will look at it and see if there is a tax lien situated on this particular parcel.
Great.
Okay. And do we have any other documentation that's
related?
Goes
with it, yes.
Perfect, thank you.
And to the board, I'll also look to see if I can see if there actually was any transfer of ownership and the dates of when the charges were incurred and things like this so that we know if there's a possibility that if no lien was filed but there just was a delinquent bill outstanding, then if it's transferred, then a bona fide, what would be called a bona fide purchaser, would not take could take the property without being subject to any past lien. So those are certainly things that would need to be known by the board.
Unless it's held in trust or in probate or it's a quick claim, then you would not know because you would bypass the typical title process.
Yeah.
So I'm relatively confident that it's tax. So, Mr. Menery, can you follow up on that since it is an important issue? Thank you, sir.
All right. Item 10D, the emergency generator specs, RFP board update from Mr. Curtis.
Where's the specs? Where's the specs? Do you have specifications? I didn't get it in my packet.
No, I didn't. It's an oral report. We don't have it.
The item before you is an oral report in that I've been working back and forth with Caterpillar on where we're at currently to try to define our emergency generator. It does not have an emergency transfer switch. It doesn't have the capacity to do the things that I believe was intended. The people at Caterpillar have looked at it a couple of times. They have changed the oil on it. Minimal service has occurred. It's currently out of specification. It is not in compliance in North America, is what the person at Caterpillar told me, for use by anybody. They pulled one of these out recently, and it was either Oxnard or Fillmore, and they sent it to the scrap heap. So I was talking to the folks at Quinn Caterpillar in Santa Maria and talked about it. They had been here. They were well aware of our current situation on emergency generators. They're very much astounded that we still have it in our working facilities, and even though it's not working properly. I asked them to give me to bracket a cost for replacement of a unit that would be similar but right size would be something on the order of $115,000 to be delivered. That is not installed. So I have done a lot of work in looking back at this. I'm free to answer any questions. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have about Caterpillar's direction that they had received from previous management and that facility. That's my oral report.
I'll turn it over to the board for any questions first.
Yeah, is Caterpillar the only supplier for that size generator? I mean, I know they're good, but...
Pardon me?
Is Caterpillar the only supplier of generators for that would be adequate for that well?
There are other suppliers of power generators, but I stuck with what we have, which is a Caterpillar, so as to see if we could salvage what we do have rather than having to remove it and go forward with another manufacturer and to start anew. But if we're going to be doing that, I can look at other power emergency power generation units I'm familiar and have used. In my previous employ, other Caterpillar units, they're very good. They're very sustainable. They're good year in, year out. They have good serviceability and good sustainability. But there are other manufacturers.
Well, we're going to need at least three bids unless we find a reason not to. Sometimes there are good reasons.
It's strict. And we need to get the buy-off by our partners here, being the fire and the sheriff's building, along with ourselves, because there are three independent facilities that it does service. We have the water, and then there's the fire and the sheriff.
When was Caterpillar out on site? You stated that they had been out.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay, and I've looked at that generator in length, and it looks like it's three institutions or three manufacturers to that thing, but I did not see it marked as Caterpillar. So are they the manufacturers of the old beast?
They are the manufacturer of the...
The one that's over here?
The engine driver, yes. The engine is a Caterpillar C15 motor, diesel motor. The turbine that creates the power is not a Caterpillar Caterpillar manufactured turbine. And so those are not married well. The power factor on them are not married well, and the load factor is not known.
And the engine that's in that was bought, I think, probably right around 9 years ago, Lori. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And the first diesel engine that was brought in, right, did not meet California speculations, didn't meet the specs at all. Right. You know, not speculations, but specifications. Excuse me. And so only the engine is produced by Caterpillar. The rest of the mechanics of it all is not a Caterpillar product.
No, it's hodgepodge.
You know, and the first engine that was brought in was a mess, and they had to ship it back. The second engine was bought by Danny Gregers, who's the best diesel mechanic in the area locally, and he's the one that put that engine in, and it's been about 9 years, and it was a rebuild at that time. So I don't want to be led to believe that it's a product of Caterpillar. It's not. It's a product of another company and other companies with surrounding mechanisms. I was hoping to come to this board tonight with a clear specifications on what is needed. I don't think that I'm in front of me as to what the need is and what is out there. There's, you know, I think that...
Like how many kilowatts we need to produce?
Correct. Right. How much do we need to keep that sheriff station up and going?
And
how much
pump,
do we need right. to keep that? How much do we need to keep that? And so on, right? And I think that the board has been overly generous in saying, I'll get it to you. Director Blackburn has articulated it so clearly so many times. Each time my packet comes, each board meeting, I rip it open, hoping I'll see a specification of what is needed. And it's not here. And it says right here on the agenda, specifications, RFP, board update. I'm sorry, it hasn't been specced out. You don't know. You being an engineer, I thought it would just be an easy, you know, 101 thing to do. And it seems to be a challenge. And I don't understand. Why can't we get the specifications for what is needed? We're in contract with these people.
We don't have all the information on the current machine. The information you just presented as to who put it together and how, that was not known by me. It's not documented here. I've not found anything. I'm working with who manufactured the motor itself was Caterpillar. It's been thrown together. It's currently substandard. The wiring is substandard. The folks that were looking at it were telling me this. It was bad 2.5-3 years ago. It's still bad today, and I'm trying to deal with that. Now, as far as that goes, as far as the specification, I have put together the specification for that.
Can you share that with us?
I have. I sent a RFP information. I did email that to the board. I will be more than happy to send it once again.
That should be included in the... packet here.
I see an RFP for revenue consultant here. That's the only RFP I have.
It is not part of the current packet that you have in front of you this evening.
Which packet would it be in, sir?
It would be in an email that I sent out
to the public.
So I was saying I don't feel comfortable speaking on it tonight on the email that you sent out because it wasn't available for the public to speak on first. So
why don't we'll bring this back at a later day. We're not prepared to take any action. We'll just take it as a report received. We'll get the specs, the RFP, and bring it back on a later board agenda. Item 10.
On the next board agenda. I'd like to have it brought back on the next agenda.
The 26th, then. 3/26. With the email attachment that was sent out. Item 10E, request for a proposal for revenue consultants to assist the district in infrastructure development. There was some concerns that were brought about because of the prior discussions with WSC that we had gone out, the unsigned contract from WSC, and then Faith Watkins was here. So I asked Mr. Minery to follow up with WSC and see what their position was on it.
I did, because there was that confusion last time as far as what happened in the procedurally with this. I did speak with Dan Heimel, the staff engineer, today. I told him about what the board's deliberation last time and the concern we had about where we stood in this. He explained to me that this was something that was initiated by their company to the board. Nothing ever went anywhere. They would look forward to receiving the RFP, and they will provide a proposal for the board's consideration. And I told him that if the board does decide to send this out for an RFP, I'll let him know, and so his company will have an opportunity to make a proposal.
And the way this started to catch everybody up is that back in January, Director Blackburn and I had a finance committee with ideas at looking at ways to raise revenues. One of the ideas was to try to get a consultant and look for grants, loans, and whatever sundry ways we could do that. One of the concerns, of course, is to try to get loans is our ability to repay. We're already real close to the margin. If we do have a reduction of water sales because people start conserving.
Grant you're going after. And, you know, just as a little bit of background, I would put out $9 million every other year when I work for the city of Los Angeles. So I'm very familiar with RFPs. And organizationally, looking at this district, I would not fund it. Just because of the administrative mechanism, how it flows through, I probably would be very concerned about getting a exhibit properly prepared. Once you submit a grant and you're awarded a grant, then you have to develop an exhibit with your funders. And at that point, I would become alarmed. The debt ratio for paying back any loans, I think we're right on the line. We couldn't qualify. We couldn't prove that we could pay the money back. A grant, you know, it would go in the B pile.
Yeah.
You know, just because of several administrative downfalls in the organization. So, just off my experience doing HUD and NIH grants and CDC grants and other federal, state and grants, I've reviewed for the California Community Foundation, the statewide organization. I've reviewed for the more times than I can imagine for the feds. You know, so I don't think putting good money in a RFP for a grant writer is almost a grant writer's dream because they know they're not going to get funded. So why take what little resources we have and put it into a grant writer who's not going to be able to get grants funded? Because organizationally, we're not as tight as we should be if we were applying for such as. We just, we're working on the statewide water plan with the county and stuff. Take, for example, the generator. The generator should have been included in the IRW plan because then you're on record as saying, I need this. You also have a reserve account that submits into it. And I see that you organizationally have structured your needs and that you have reserves there. And my money would be well spent in producing. You know, so I'm concerned about putting good money into a grant writer right now. It's we got too much money in staff right now. You know, last time I looked, we're a quarter of our 25% or more of our annual budget goes into staff. So now we're going to take and hire a grant writer for grants that we probably most likely won't be recommended for.
Did you have something, Director White?
Oh, I was just going to say, I certainly am not going to support this until after we get the budget done. Maybe after we know where we are when we bounced into July 1st, there might be more reason at that time. But I just don't see it now.
I think for me, the fact that we are lacking money and all the things that we do have wrong that we need to fix kind of highlights our need for this person. I don't think it's limited to a grant writer. I think that the way that they wrote it was inclusive of people who might help us figure out if our rates are accurate, which I think with our work in the pro forma will help us get our costs, our actual costs, figured out so that somebody studying our current rates would know if they were an accurate representation of our costs. And I think that this person is necessary at this time. And unfortunately, you have to spend money to get money in this process.
Well, yeah, and that's just a point. I don't think you're going to get money. And and grant writers aren't miracle workers. Right. You know, you can ask my other half. She's not a miracle worker.
Yeah, they put together the information, but that doesn't mean, you know, that you're going anywhere.
Right.
I'm not too sure we can do it ourselves.
If they don't see that you're planning for it, so let's get the performa done, let's get the annual budget done, and let's bring it back. So then we know what we, how strong, how weak we are, where our weaknesses are. You know, when you're reading an RFP, when you're reading a proposal, if people point out where their weaknesses are, right, you know, it's better than hiding it. And so as they investigate us, they're going to find these weaknesses that we haven't disclosed. And then you go to the bottom of the pile. Right. Well, actually, hit the trash can.
I think that that although we should change the dates on it, that finding somebody might coincide with our pro forma process so that we will know our costs and our needs.
No, you're asking somebody to pull off a lot there, you know. I say, you know, get the laundry list together, a.k.a. pro forma, right, and go from there. You know, and if you want to put more money into holding up supporting staff, then you can do that. But I can't support this at this time. I understand how much you want to, and I want you too. If it was that easy, boy, I would have been on it. But, you know, I look at the Federal Registry every day. That's the first start. The first thing you do, you get to work and you hit the Federal Registry to see what has been released, what is available, you know. And of course, the WSC listed the USDA because they're the easiest.
Right.
You know, they're the easiest to qualify for. And staff probably at some point will provide an update on, you know, the USD meeting or and what that funder said. And those are easiest ones.
Well, they had those. They had their concerns, and their concerns were if they gave us a loan, we couldn't pay them back because our rate structures don't support it.
Yeah.
That was their concern.
So, Jen, maybe one thing to do is to narrow it down and look at, you know, the tiering structure. You know, I've been talking to Amanda in Cambria, who has been very good at explaining tiering and units of service. And 218 processes are different for each. You know, a 218 rate increase is different than a 218 tier change. You know, so if you'd like, you know, I'm going to put a call into Amanda in a couple days. If you'd like to meet with her and me, that would be great.
Well, I think
that's one place we can start.
I think, Ms. Director Blackburn and I, our vision was to get this started so that when we do start the new fiscal year in July, we've already greased the skids. We're ready to start going. We don't have a 3 or 4 month process to try to get a grant writer in at that point.
No. Yeah.
There's a ton of grant writers.
But if you're pumping water and not getting revenue in for it,
doesn't matter.
There's no skids to grease, folks. I think we need to watch our pennies at this point, not... And I'm not usually fiscally conservative.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second? I'll second. Marie, do you want to do a roll call vote?
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
No.
Vice President Lucy?
No.
Director Angelo?
No.
All right. Motion fails by a vote of 3-2. Move on to a utility item number 11. That's the Sutton Project, 6468 APN. I did notice some corrections. I have a report dated March 12th. I did notice some corrections that need to be made. This is a will serve request. By way of background, Mr. Sutton contacted me about three and a half weeks ago, advised that he had requested a will serve in early January and had not received it yet. So I asked that it be put on the agenda. It made it on this week's agenda instead of 2 weeks ago. I did have concern on the water connection charges. The number two charge is listed as a water meter charge, which is there's also a water meter charge for the first charge. It should be front footage charges with calculations. We don't know what the front footage is on this property. I understand he's building a very nice home. So we'll need to look at those. And then the capacity charges are not on the 2014 schedule. That should be 4684.56.
Also, the labor charges are miscalculated.
Pardon me?
The labor charges are miscalculated. Based on what's printed there, the USS 40 by 8 hours should be $320. And the USO 30 by 4 hours by 2 people should be $240.
Because it's times 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that changes the amounts, but this is, I understand this is also a time-sensitive issue for Mr. Sutton. So my proposal is that we direct staff to make those particular changes to calculate the front footage charges and to approve the will serve.
What kind of improvements?
Or this is a brand new construction.
Okay.
Yeah.
It didn't say that.
I'm sorry.
It says improvements.
This is a new house. This is new construction, a new single family residence. We do have plans submitted. We do have the front footage, and we do have the water and sewer connection points.
Okay. Do you know how?
Water? Field staff as to the situation here.
Good evening, Mr. Casey Stewart. How are you doing?
Good evening, Board. I'm looking at the water meter charge, and on the first line, it's a 1-inch per 5 cities bar authority, but we're only charging them for a 5/8 on the second line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually was mislabeled. It should be front footage charges.
Right.
Okay, no wonder I couldn't.
That's the issue. They're not getting two water meters.
Okay. And then for the labor charges, it's incorrect that you would bill 8 hours for a supervisor, but then only 4 hours for two workers. If it's an 8-hour job and there's going to be a supervisor there for 8 hours, you would have
two workers there for eight hours. Okay.
And you only need an hour for the sewer because there's only an hour on here, $25 per square foot for inspection with a total of $25.
That's the inspection fee.
Yeah, and it's per single-family residence, not square foot.
It's just a flat fee. It's not
right
per foot.
And we have that same one on the water connection charge, inspection fee of $25.
Yeah.
Thank you, Casey.
Thank you.
So with those corrections, does that make sense to direct staff to? It looks like it's 8 hours for the USOs, which is totals 480. $320 for labor charges for the USS, which is the supervisor. $4684.56 for the capacity charges, and then changing that second line, the water meter charge of 5/8 to a front footage charge of $4080, which the amount is correct, but it's just a identification issue.
Okay, then you have two workers on the labor charges at 8 hours, $40 an hour.
$30.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one.
Yeah.
Okay.
President Guerrero, on your capacity charge, if you look at the rate schedule on the page 3 of 3 in 2014, it's 4423.
That would be the existing capacity charge.
That's the current capacity charge. The other one is for year 2015.
2014.
At the bottom of
it says 2014. Yeah.
Yeah. At the top it says 2014. Is that the one?
I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it went up $260.
I stand corrected.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay. So it should be instead of 4423, 4684.
$46.84.56 for capacity charges. Right. So it will raise there. It'll probably put them up a little over $12,000. So is the board comfortable directing staff to go ahead and approve it with those changes?
Yes.
Is there any other? I was going to ask Tony. Is there any other changes?
Tony, if you're going to, can you step to the microphone, please, so we can.
Construction. There's existing. It's there.
Underneath existing the water service.
There's a service that's feeding the home right next door.
Okay.
So I got to remove all that concrete, which is approximately about a yard. Concrete. Right now, off the top of my head, about 160 for a yard to you guard it there. So we're going to have to replace the concrete slab. We're going to have to replace the existing box. We're also going to have to install a new box. And then the angle stop alone, about $120 right now. It's a lead-free. The customer service valve, right around 100 to 120. These are just things off the top of my head. The material to connect everything, you're looking at another 100, 130, 140. So that all adds up. The boxes alone, they run about $100, and then depending on the lid you put on there, that increases also. I can actually give you a breakdown of all the parts and material with the exact charges.
And you're going to put it in there so you can get to access to the turnoff valve, right? Without knocking the wall out.
They always leave space, yes. The boxes that we put in
there, I know you guys know that better than anybody.
For the customer and for the utilities.
Enough for your hand to reach in, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they have to take a bar and knock out the wall to get to the shut-off valve a lot of times.
I'd like to approve we authorize staff to go ahead and put a will serve letter together, because it's the total estimated water and sewer fees that we're looking at today, not the final ones. And that would have to come later anyway.
Right, it is an estimate.
It is an estimate, and the gentleman would like to build his house. So I move we give him a will serve letter.
Are we going to try to correct what we know is
yes, with all the corrections made.
Okay,
with the corrections and changes. Were you able to get those, Marie? I have my handwritten notes.
I do have those, and that was my question. You've answered it. That's perfect.
I've got the direction, Chairman.
Thank you, sir. All right.
And just so the public knows that these fees are put into the deferred maintenance of the Water and Sewer Department to support the infrastructure of the town. It doesn't go into a general fund or anything like that. It goes directly
by direct
motion. I'm sorry, we do need a vote. I'm sorry. So who made the motion?
I did.
Okay, and who was the second?
I'll second.
Director Angelo was second. Okay.
Thank you.
Marie?
Roll call, Mary.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
All right, carries by a vote of 5-0 as amended. Why don't we do the received communications and future agenda items, and then we'll go into closed session. So, received written communications and late received written communications, I see none. Anything to add there, Mr. Curtis?
No, the only communication that I received was from Director Wyatt, and you've discussed that. Thank you.
Are there any public requests for public information in? Does anybody know? I mean, usually we have somebody who writes us a letter.
Somebody who
sends an email or something.
We did have a communication, a thank you letter for our field staff, yes.
Okay, great. We want to hear that stuff. And nobody came into the office, anything like that? Nobody sat down and talked to any community members or anything like that? Okay, great.
One quick question.
Yes, Marie.
The revenue consultant, is it going to go back on future agenda items, or are we going to add this to our list Karen is?
I think we'll bring it back after the fiscal year.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I think it actually needs to be included in the annual budget process. We might be able to build a reserve.
Okay. Well, Ms. Blackburn and I will add that to the when we do the finance committee, the consultant. I'm glad she takes notes, because... future agenda items, we have a number of items here. There's actually, we have a water and sewer committee on 325. The disaster plan, I think I'm going to go with Director White's thoughts. We got too many tentacles going out right now. Stormwater management program, SWMP. One of the things that we wanted was some suggestion on the SWMP. Is there a due date for that? Do we have a for the stormwater management program? Do we have a due date? Is there any?
I'm working with the DPSI and making sure everything's dotted and crossed and getting back to the Central Coast Board. It's a submittal to the Central Coast Board.
Do you know when that's due?
There's not really a due date necessarily. It's just something that needs to be submitted. I don't think it's time sensitive. Okay. I'll follow up and get back.
Budget. I think that goal setting annual budget kind of ties into the 322 meeting that we just scheduled today.
Yes.
So we'll just mark that as being on 322 for that Saturday meeting. NCMA presentation, water and sewer, water conservation, water and sewer committee. Those are both on 325. You guys are going to be busy. Permanent water sales. This really revolved around the voter initiative, and we were going to have Hall, Hyatt, and Conley followed up with, because they had done some research, I believe, about it. So I don't know how we. I think that's really a closed session item, because it could involve potentially litigation if we were to challenge it. We're looking at our options. I think 326 is backing up. Why don't we look at April for that?
Or May or June.
Or later.
Or later.
Yeah.
We haven't dealt with it for 2 years.
That's true. It's basically the voter initiative.
Right, I know. Right. So you're putting it back on the agenda?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm saying we were having member legal counsel follow up on
right.
Hyatt. So. Why don't I just stay in touch with Jeff on that, and then if there's something to agendize, I'll bring it back in.
Great.
That sounds good. It doesn't seem like it will probably be an issue for a while.
Yeah.
Is it possible to do a new list after we have the Saturday workshop?
Yep.
Definitely.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think that's it. We'll take public comment on closed session. We do have two items tonight pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, conference with labor negotiators. The agency designated representatives are the general manager, Lonnie Curtis, and Vice President Mary Lucy. The employee organization is the SEIU, Service Employees International Union 620. Item B is pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, performance evaluation of the general manager. Is there any public comment on either of these items at this time? All right, seeing none, we will adjourn into closed session. It is 9.05 p.m. And
the clock hasn't been fixed. Here I was going, man,
it's waiting for the
great.
Fall. The clock still says 8.05, but we'll adjourn. It's 9.05 p.m. Thanks.
Oh, it is.
Yes.